Paignton Baptist Church, Betty Harris's funeral, 22nd of June, 2023.
So good to hear you all here today. My name's Stephen Coles. I'm the minister of Paignton Baptist Church, Betty's church, and we're here to give thanks for Betty, to celebrate her life, her ongoing life, to mourn, to say goodbye for the time being. Praise be to the God and Father in his mercy. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, he gave us new birth into a living hope. We are here now to honour Betty, who has died
and has risen again in
Christ. We are here because in one way or another, this death affects us all. We're here to listen again to some of the great words of the Christian faith, to consider, to remember, and in quiet gratitude to give thanks for Betty's continuing life. We're here to renew our trust in God, who has said, "I will not fail you or desert you." Let's pray. God, your love is stronger than death. You offer us all the gift of eternal life. Help us as we hear the promises of your word to believe them, and to receive the comfort they offer. You are the giver of hope. Fill us with joy and peace in believing, that our fears may be dispelled, our loneliness eased, and our hope reawakened. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Psalm we have later on today.
And the
They've both been
chosen by Liz and Philip. And our first hymn is When We Walk With the Lord.
Oh,
Please be seated. I was just speaking to Pam Bithell before the service started, and she said that Betty phoned her on the night before she died to say goodbye, and they sang that hymn together. It's very special that we sung that today. Liz now is going to come forward and tell us a little of Betty's story. If Liz had included everything in this eulogy that she was given, you would be very thirsty at the end, I think.
Elizabeth Audrey Harris, known to us fondly as Betty or Cap'n. Betty has chosen her hymns today, and I'd also like to thank Claire and Sue and the flower team for displaying all of Betty's favourite flowers. When Betty made the choice that she wanted to die at home in her own bed, I was honoured to be Betty's end-of-life carer with Phil. And over the last 11 weeks, Betty was able to share many stories with me, and her eulogy is a compilation of these stories and of her many diary notes. Born in Paignton in 1940 to Thomas and Audrey Baker, Betty was the eldest of three children, with younger sister Marion and her brother Tommy deceased. They spent the first 20 years in Saltern Road, and they later moved to Clifton Grove. The family all attended Winner Street Baptist Church. Most of us know that Betty's grandparents were founder members of this church. Arthur Rabich was chairman of Paignton Urban District Council in the days when there was no payment and all was done for the Christian sake of the community. Arthur Rabich, their grandfather, was also responsible for the erection of the text on the wall behind me. What I didn't know was Arthur's brother was founder of Paignton Spiritualist Church. As a girl, Betty attended Curlidge Street School and was very active in Winner Street, attending Sunday school and various youth activities. Betty told me as a child she was quite shy and found it difficult to speak out, but said through God's help and encouragement she had from Christian Endeavour, God taught her to speak for him. Betty and Pam, of course, were best friends, and it was lovely to see Betty have a little giggle amongst her pain as she told me of some of their antics, and not all of these are repeatable. They were often seen out on their bicycles and attended church activities and Baptist Missionary Society weekends away. In fact, Betty was out so much, her mum and dad said it was like having a lodger. On one of these weekends away, they joined a choir, and Trust and Obey became their hymn. Whenever it was played in the following years, wherever they were, they always had a little glance between them, remembering. She also remembered their week at summer school at Herne Bay, and both her and Pam learning how to milk buttercup. In Germany, with a group from a London church, they witnessed the Berlin Wall being built, planes going over, and barges loaded with tanks constantly passing on the River Rhine. And both Betty and Pam told me it was quite scary. When our junior church hall was opened in Clifton Road, the lovely new wooden varnished floor had numerous dents in it, thanks to two teenage young ladies in stiletto heels. At one point, they used to chase the teddy boys in Winner Street and try to persuade them to come to church. And sometimes they were successful. And sometimes there was havoc up in our balcony. But do you know, two of these young men came to know the Lord, and one of them I can personally remember marrying one of our church members. Betty went on to technical college to study bookkeeping, and then on to Denman's Accountants as their bookkeeper. In the evening, she was studying to be a missionary until love took her down a different path. And she fell in love with George Harris. He was an electrician working at Denman's. They settled into married life in the Cliftons and later had a son, Philip, which Betty reminded me has only got one L. During married life, Betty worked as bookkeeper for many local businesses, including the Oswald Hotel and Wallace Arnold Coaches, to name just two. Sadly, in 1982, George passed away. Betty was one of the longest-serving members of this fellowship. She tells me she's attended here for 82 years, firstly in her mother's womb. I would like to give you two examples from Betty's writings when the Lord spoke to her. I heard the Lord speak to me, firstly, when all the GB officers resigned en bloc, and I heard him say to me one evening, "I have chosen you to be captain of the Girls' Brigade." And this she served for 23 years, and several of the lieutenants that served under Betty are here today. And then in one of her diaries she wrote that God said to her, "I have other ideas for you, Betty. It's been very good that the work you've done in the youth work, but I would like you now to concentrate on women's work in this church. Thursdays in the Baptist Women's Fellowship," and later she started FFF on a Friday evening, which was Fridays for females, for fun, friendship. We had a very active parents and friends association of the church. Just a few names are Frank and Sybil Jeffrey, Cecil and June Bunce, Mr. and Mrs. Vincent, just to name a few. Who can forget our fantastic pantomimes we put on in the junior church hall? Our girls' brigade float each year, and our girls' brigade displays. She laughed when she reminded me of herself and myself and Diana dressed as schoolgirls singing Three Little Maids from the Mikado. And who can forget Betty as one of the Bee Gees? Betty was very active in the church, and I can't remember a time when she wasn't here. She was also our driver for our church minibus, along with Aubrey Brown. Betty reached out to so many girls and their parents and was loved by all. As a child myself of the Cliftons, I can remember playing in the manse garden and Betty there as a young teenager. And in later years, Philip and Clive whizzing around in their pedal cars. In 1988, Betty and Philip entered into business together as a retail delicatessen. And we all got used to seeing Philip out and about in his white West Country Foods van. And their gattos were out of this world. They had many enjoyable holidays together in Austria, Switzerland, and many other European places. Betty also enjoyed a holiday with Marjorie in Germany, many holidays with Pauline, her dear neighbour and friend, and of course the Holy Land with lovely Sybil. Before I finish, I would like to thank Diana and Clive for all their love, care and help that we needed during the last 11 weeks. And to Pam, of course, for her daily phone calls, which I know Betty looked forward to. And as Stephen has always mentioned, just loved when they sang Trust and Obey, and it was very moving. To end her eulogy, this is an excerpt from her diary in 2004. "God does not promise a life full of roses. We all have anxieties and problems. We must learn to bring them to God in prayer, give to Jesus, and leave it with him." These are Betty's exact words to you all today. "I know that I have been saved. I know that Jesus helped and guided me each day. This earth is a temporary home, and eternity will be spent in heaven, in God's presence, and I will see many of my dear ones again. Have you got that assurance?
Thank you very much, Liz. Thank you for those
words. We're going to hear
similar
words, more words
that Betty would want us to hear
a bit later on, I think.
What I'd like to give the opportunity now to do is, if you've got
something you
want to thank God for Betty for, something to that is a special moment, we have the opportunity, having heard that wonderful overview of Betty's life, just if you've got that that story, that thought, we have the opportunity to share those now. Debbie, if you can, Debbie's got a handheld mic, because we are recording the service, not your faces. There's a video recording going on at the front and an audio recording, so you're not
going to be seen.
But if there's something where you'd say, yeah, I'd just like to say this about Betty, then this is now an opportunity. And I'm sure there'll be a few. I know we've got Pam at the front to kick us off, Pam, and then... You have to eat the microphone like an ice cream.
Okay. Betty and I were best friends for 68 years. That's not bad going. And Libby has really covered things that I would have said. But Betty was the sort of person that looked after everybody. The young people, the middle-aged ones, and especially the older ones. She had a list and she rang everybody, no matter what, she rang them. And they always had a letter or a card whenever there were problems. So for me, Betty has not just been a good friend over all these years, but she's been somebody who watched over everybody and who cared for us all. Thank you, Lord, for Betty.
Thank you. The ladies behind.
Hi, I first met Betty when I was around 9 years old. I fondly knew her then as captain of the Girls' Brigade. And I think one of my most vivid memories was the first Girls' Brigade camp I ever went on. We was going to Mumbles. And I remember crying for the first 15 minutes of the journey. And she came and sat with me on the seat and told me all the fun things he was going to do and not to be upset, we'd phone home in the week. And she just put me at that ease. And all through then, my growing up in the Girls' Brigade, she was always like a guidance for me. And I remember getting higher up through the Girls' Brigade, right up to being a lieutenant. And she was there side by side with me, because my parents aren't saved, and Betty was just that person in my life, and I had great memories of her.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I've got a few things that I have written down that I'd like to read out. Betty, lovingly known to me in my younger years as Captain. Captain of the 2nd Paignton Girls' Brigade here at Winner Street Baptist Church. I joined the Girls' Brigade as an explorer, right on through to being a brigader. I can honestly say that my years growing up in the Girls' Brigade shaped me into the woman I am today. I have so many fond and warm memories of our captain. I am sure those who share my memories would agree that our captain made our Girls' Brigade the best it could have been. Along with our lieutenants, Diana Fountain, Sybil Jeffrey, Angela Jeffrey, Angela Brown, Debbie Brooking, Penny Brown, to name just a few, our Girls' Brigade camps were without a doubt the best holidays. We always had so much fun. A whole week away, no parents, day trips, staying up late at night, midnight feasts, telling each other scary stories whilst Captain and the officers were fast asleep, stage shows that we would put on in the middle of the week. I think one year, I think we actually won, didn't we, Penny? Do you remember that? These were great fun. Yes, we were quite naughty at times, and we would get a telling off the next day. Second Painting Girls Brigade would also take part in the annual carnival each summer. I remember our floats always being one of the best. We had a day trip to Longleat Safari Park one year, and I remember us all sitting by the coach eating our lunch. When a giraffe got very close to us, I panicked and started running with my food. The giraffe chased me, as I'm sure those that were there can remember. Everyone was shouting at me, "Stop running!" So I did eventually stop and hid behind the coach until he went away. I want to say today, thank you, Captain, for your dedication, love, and guidance that you always gave to us. I am proud and lucky to have been part of our Girls Brigade family. Finally, as I said to my dad on the day of his funeral, God saw that you were tired, and now you may rest in peace with no pain. And just to add that at the end of every Girls Brigade session, you would say, "Good night, girls." And here we are saying, "Good night, Captain."
Thank you very much. I know she means such, Josie, over here. It's lovely to see different sides of Betty and great fun stuff.
My name's Josie, and I've worked with Betty for 20-odd years in the ladies' meeting. We had a very good ladies' meeting, and you could always rely on Betty to be there. And I just want to just say thank you to Betty for all the years of the ladies' meeting.
Thank you.
I was enlisted one year to help with the ladies' meeting annual outing. It was either going to Seaton or Sidmouth, I can't remember which. But we hired two minibuses. I was driving one and Betty was driving the other. And there's a very steep hill as you're approaching towards the donkey sanctuary there. And there was a lot of ladies in these minibuses, which were very underpowered. And I remember saying, "Come on, come on, you can do it." But the thought of doing that now and how we managed it fills me with horror, really. But I was very grateful for Betty, especially for her support for the Baptist Missionary Society over the 23 years that I've been here. And we're sad to see her go, but we rejoice, yes, because we know where she is.
Thank you. Anybody else just like to share something? Tamsin over the same road, Debbie. And then we've got Carol to the front.
So Betty was just such a wonderful, loving soul, wasn't she? And she was always a great supporter of Mark and I, and even when we left the church, she always stayed in contact, and she'd always send a lovely card with a verse. And we just thank her for her love and support, and it was a blessing to have her at our wedding.
Thank you. So. Thank you. Carol. It's coming. Carol, just wait a minute. Microphone's coming.
It's all right, I'm on my way. I'm sorry.
That way we can hear you.
I'd just like to say I'm fairly new to the Baptist Church, and I'd been coming a few years, and of course I got to know Betty, and I was learning and reading my Bible really for the first time in my life almost, and Betty suggested to go forward to be baptised, and I just laughed. I said, "Oh no, I've got to learn all about the Bible first." And she just said, no you don't, you put yourself forward. She said, "I'll do it for you," and I'm so grateful for what she did for me by doing that. It committed me to what I'm doing now.
Thank you very much. Yeah, get baptised first and then do all the studying afterwards. Well done. Any other memories that people want to share, Betty? I know you've all got your own thoughts and so on, but is there one more? Yeah, thank you.
Just like to say that Betty too encouraged me to come forward for baptism, and without her support it just wouldn't have happened, and it changed my life, and it's the greatest gift anyone could give to you. And my girls came to Girls Brigade, and she was always interested and loving to all the girls, and not just the girls but their families as well, and she always encouraged the whole family. Thank you, Betty. We loved you.
Amen. Let's have a moment now for your own personal reflections. We've got lots of stuff. Let's have a bit of space to say thank you to God for Betty. Father, we thank you for all that Betty has meant to each one of us. We thank you for the gift that you've given to us and previous generations in this place and throughout Torbay and, throughout the world. We thank you for her. Amen. Our next hymn is a prayer. And it's a prayer asking the Lord to speak to us, that I may speak to others. And it's a prayer that was answered in Betty's life. This hymn is her prayer, and we've seen it answered. May it be our prayer too for ourselves. Lord, speak to me that I may speak. Please feel free to stand or sit for these hymns.
Thank you.
And now Peter's going to bring our Bible reading.
Psalm 51, 1 to 13. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from my presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee.
The Bible passage we've just heard was chosen by Philip and Liz as a baptismal psalm, which is very appropriate, not only for Betty's funeral, but also today, a bit later on, the floor will be removed by the Worth brothers, I expect, maybe others helping. And this is the baptistry. This is a pool. And Andrew Askew, who used to come to this church as a child with his father, he's going to be baptized. And one of the symbols that believers' baptism shows us is that of washing, going into the pool. It's the cleansing that comes from Jesus that the washing is showing. It's the symbol. It's saying this is what's happened when we come to Jesus and ask him to forgive us. He forgives us. And that's what that psalm was all about. It's also the words that we heard from Liz, Betty's message to us. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. King David wrote this psalm, and you might not know much about King David. You might know a lot about King David. What was in his mind when he wrote this psalm? We know in his younger days he killed Goliath, he did this, he did that. He led the people, he worshipped. He was a great man, a great king. But what was in his mind when he wrote this psalm? He had just been caught out by Nathan the prophet, who'd come to see him. He'd shown David, for the story that you can read about in Samuel's book in the Bible, he showed David that God knew what he had done. What he'd done was to commit adultery with a woman, Bathsheba. And he tried to cover it up. But he failed. And so to try and sort of cover it up, but it wasn't going to work, but he did it anyway, he had her husband killed. God saw this evil, this sin, and was very angry, and sent Nathan the prophet to David to confront him. David could have tried to brazen it out. David could have said, not me, but he was repentant. This psalm is his appeal to God for forgiveness and cleansing, for a fresh start. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Now I wonder, does King David, the king of Israel, have much in common with Queen Betty of Winner Street? It doesn't appear several thousand years between them, and slightly different characters. There's nothing in common, but actually so much in common. Yes, the Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God in one way or another. We have all gone astray, even Betty. And I do want to hear those stories that are not for being repeated and not being recorded. I just love the idea of, was it Betty and you, Pam, chasing the teddy boys up Willow Street? Have we got any in our congregation now or here who fancy amazing thought. We need more teddy boys chased up Winner Street. So we've all gone astray. Some for a year, some for 50 years. We all, like David, need to repent, to turn around, to say sorry to God, to be forgiven. David was forgiven. He was made clean. So Betty and David do have this in common: needing forgiveness and receiving forgiveness. But there's more in common. David and Betty were both passionate people. Betty was passionate about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll need to have those final words, and we need to think whether we put them in Keeping in Touch, our church newsletter, next week. So we need to hear those words right to the very end. She wants us to know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news that we can be forgiven, receive new life, and become God's children through Jesus. Betty would like everybody to know that whatever you've done, however big or small, you can be forgiven. You will be forgiven if you say sorry, through what Jesus did on the cross. You can be, as we heard in that psalm, washed whiter than snow. Dads can't touch sin, but the blood of Christ cleanses it all. Sin separates us from God. That's why David called out, "Cast me not from your presence." If we've got sin on us, we can't be in God's presence. But through Jesus, we can come very close to God. And in fact, he places his spirit within us. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That writing went up on the wall yesterday. Is it any coincidence that it went up yesterday, just in time? Mark was sweaty on it. We were waiting for the sign company. They've got to come Monday. Can't come Monday. Tuesday, we've lost a letter. Come back Wednesday. It's up. Two men on two ladders and got prayed for. Josh and Jason got given a New Testament as they were here. So they got prayed and blessed putting up those words. I know Betty would be dead proud of that.
Yes.
Betty was passionate about seeing these words back up on the wall, and particularly Jesus said. And one of the last conversations I had with Betty, in fact it was the last conversation I had with Betty, was to say to Betty, "Philip, they're going up. The words are now back where they should always have been." And thirdly, there's something else that Betty and David have in common. Their faith was not a private one. People say, "I don't need to go to a church to be a Christian, I don't do this." Our faith is not intended to be private. There are things that happen between us and God that are private, but that's not the end of our faith. That's not the end of our obedience to him. David wanted to be restored to the joy of his salvation and upheld by God's Spirit so that he could teach transgressors God's ways and convert sinners. I believe that was Betty's desire as well. For all the fun and games at Girls Brigade and at FFF and ladies' fellowship, everything else, all the fun stuff, which is really important because it shows what God is like. She was also wanting transgressors to be converted, to be turned around, to be forgiven and loved. And so Betty spent her life teaching others about God's ways and sharing her faith for Jesus. The girls of the Girls Brigade, the lieutenants that served with her, the ladies of Baptist Women's Fellowship, and there's a lovely display here, including a photograph. Do have a look at it before you go today. Just a snapshot of Baptist Women's Fellowship and the fun on Fridays and so many other things. That's that song that we sang just a moment ago. Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of your tone. That was her prayer, and that's what she did. That prayer was answered. Betty's work is now done. She has entered her rest. As Paul says to Timothy, coming near to the end of his life, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Her work is done. But is yours just beginning? There may be some here, present in this room, or listening, that have never said to Jesus, be my Saviour, forgive me, and be my Lord. Be in charge of my life. From now on, I want to live for you, not for myself. I want to bring glory to you, not to me. I want to go your way, not my way. I want to go the way, the truth, and the life that is Jesus, not my way. If that's you, this is a new beginning today. Will you come to Jesus for washing? Will you come to Jesus for forgiveness and new life? Will you receive the Holy Spirit and serve God in his power? But also, how about those who've done that already? And for some, it's many years ago. Are you tempted to give up? It's too hard. My bones are all falling apart. I can't think straight. I can't do what I used to do. Am I making any difference? I can't get out and about. We've already heard about Betty's telephone ministry. I have first experience of that. I rang home 6 weeks ago today, a couple of hours' time. I rang home to say to my wife, the operation was fine, I'm out, I'm in the bed, and you can come and visit me. That was 6 weeks ago. And as I was on the phone to to Leslie, my daughter, who was in the same room, answered the phone. Who was that? Betty. She had phoned up 6 weeks ago in the middle of all she was going through with four different types of cancer. She rang up to see how I was and how Leslie was. So will you follow Betty's example, not only to coming to faith, but going on? Will you fight a good fight? Will you finish your course? Will you keep the faith? Feel free to nod. Feel free to nod. Let's pray. I got a prayer for those who have not yet been born again as children of God. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for dying for me so that I could be forgiven of all my sins and washed clean. Please forgive me and wash me. I want to start life again with you, new life. Pour your Holy Spirit into me that I may tell others about you. that I have been saved and they can be too. And for all of us, Lord Jesus, fill us again with your Holy Spirit, that encouraged and inspired by Betty's example, we may every day bring glory to your name. Doing the fun stuff, doing the everyday routine stuff, and also doing those really significant, important things that make such a difference in other people's lives that we'll perhaps never know what we even said or did. Amen. We come now to a time of prayer. Living God, we praise you for Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was in the future went into the darkness of death so that we might continue to hope and rise above despair. Thank you for his death, which opens up the future for us. Thank you, Jesus, for living among us now as risen Lord, offering to lead us through death to undying life with you in heaven. Keep convincing us that your resurrection means life for us, and that neither death nor life nor anything in all creation can deprive us of the future you are making for us. Eternal God, source of all life and inspiration for living, thank you for dwelling in Betty and shining out through her. Thank you for all her achievements, for the love that she gave and the love that she received among family and friends. Thank you that where any sadness, frustration or disappointment diminished her joy in life, that time is now past. Help us all, through Betty's death and her resurrection, grasp more firmly the Christian hope that the life Jesus gives us is longer than our years here on earth. And the love you showed to us in Christ is so much stronger than death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Amen. And Lord, we now want to pray for the family and friends who mourn. Think especially of Philip, Marion, Liz, but all the family here, all those in our congregation here for whom she means so much and that we will miss. Lord, sustain everyone, each one, in the days to come with treasured memories of the past and radiant hopes for the future. A line of a song that we sing, do not be afraid when the fear of loneliness is looming. Remember, I am at your side. Amen. I invite now, if you're able to, you'd be able to stand for the committal. Gracious God, by your power you gave us life, and in your love you are giving us new life in Jesus Christ. We entrust Betty to your safekeeping, in the faith of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who died and rose again to save us and to bring us all to a joyful resurrection and the glory of your eternal kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Rest eternal, grant Betty, O Lord, and let light perpetual shine upon her. I invite you to stay afterwards for refreshments. Go to the cross, etc., or come back here into this place. There's lots of us here, so there's plenty of space. We're going to finish our service now with a beautiful poem set to music that speaks of the richer, fuller life to come. A brighter, fairer light. A tearless morn. An endless life that is beyond death. O love that will not let me go. Trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.